Hello, and welcome to Practical Significance, a podcast to inspire listeners with compelling stories from statistics and data science and to propel data-driven careers forward. Here are your hosts, the ASA's Director of Strategic Initiatives, Donna Lalonde, and Executive Director, Ron Wasserstein.
Welcome, everyone, to the December edition of Practical Significance. Ron and I are really delighted to have our colleagues who are ending their service on the ASA board with us to talk about their board service and all things ASA. And so we are going to get started by asking them to introduce themselves and talk about the role that they have on the ASA board. And I'm going to start with you, Anna Maria.
Hello, Donna. And I'm very pleased to be here with you guys today. Again, my name is Anna Maria Cassanis. I am a Council of Chapter Governing Board representative into the Board of Directors of the American Statistical Association. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Anna Maria. And Mark, we'll go to you.
Sure. I'm Mark Glickman. I am the Council of Sections representative to the ASA board. Basically, my role is that whatever is discussed on the board, I end up reporting back to the Council of Sections Governing Board. And whatever happens in the Council of Sections Governing Board, I bring that to the board. So basically, if you are choosing to elect maybe between me and, like, say, a pair of cans that was attached by a metal wire, you probably got to have a hard time choosing between the two because they functionally are the same. So thank you.
Thanks, Mark. And Dick?
Hi, I'm Dick DeVoe from Williams College. This is my second go-round on the board. The last time I was on, I was Mark. That is, I was the section representative from the Council on Sections. And this time I'm a vice president. And I have 2 months more to figure out what a vice president actually does before I hand that over to Nick Horton. But more seriously, the vice president is involved in, at least in the third year, in the executive council. And the vice president is one of the liaisons to some of the committees that are in the ASA.
Thanks, Dick. And Wendy?
Thanks. I'm Wendy Martinez. I guess I'll give you a little background, not just with ASA, but what I do in my day job. I'm a research mathematical statistician at the Bureau of Labor Statistics, and I serve as the director of the Mathematical Statistics Research Center. Well, I had the honor of holding the office of ASA president in 2020, so this year I'm serving as past president, and had a lot of things that I, as part of my duties, but perhaps one of the best ones was that I got to pal around with Donna a lot and work on some fun things.
Yep, that's absolutely true. And so, Wendy, I'm going to stay with you and ask you, what did you learn about the ASA from serving on the board? I know a lot because you and I've had so many conversations, but maybe talk about what comes to the top of the list.
Thanks, Donna. You're right. I did learn that the ASA is doing a lot for our profession and for our members. And I was just surprised by how many things from education to publication. Some recent examples of what the ASA has accomplished. One is that we've been ensuring sound statistical principles and practices are included in data science program accreditation through our membership in CSAB. And I think, Donna, you helped co-author a grant proposal to the National Science Foundation, which I believe we received the money, or the money was given, to increase participation in data science by students from HBCUs, which are historically Black colleges and universities, and HSIs, which are Hispanic serving institutions. And I think most importantly, our association is working very hard to be anti-racist and to support equity and inclusion in all aspects of our endeavors.
Thanks, Wendy. All great things and definitely looking to the future as well. Dick, I'll go to you next. What have you learned about the ASA from serving on the board?
Well, Wendy certainly stole a lot of my thunder there. I think those are all great issues. I want to especially point out, you know, it's really hard for the average ASA member to keep abreast of all the issues that the ASA is involved with and that statistics is involved with. And Wendy mentioned data science, but if it weren't for the ASA, I wouldn't have known that ABET, which is a big accreditation board in engineering, was creating guidelines for data science programs all around the country, and statisticians weren't represented in any of those discussions until the ASA got involved. And boy, that's huge, because now they listen to us and they've incorporated some of the things that we hold dear in data science so that it's not just machine learning and throwing the data in. The other thing that Wendy mentioned about sexism and racism, I think we learned a lot about the economists with their meetings and their problems there. And I'm really proud of the ASA for trying to get ahead of those issues and trying to talk about them before we get into problems. And I think we've done a huge amount of progress on that too. So those are just two of the things that stand out to me.
Thanks, Dick. And Mark, what stands out to you?
Well, the thing to me that was very remarkable when I joined the board and started participating in the meetings is how much the ASA relies on volunteers and how much success the ASA has with volunteers for the society. You know, the ASA is a fairly big organization. It has a membership that includes statisticians in the U.S., Canada, and abroad. And, you know, really to make things work for the ASA, you can't just simply rely on paying people, and you need people who are willing to do service for the organization. And, you know, it just struck me as how remarkable how many different committees and chapters and sections and many different sub-organizations of the ASA really is what drives the engine that makes the ASA work and pushes the accomplishments that the ASA has achieved over the years.
Boy, Mark, as one of the professional staff at the ASA, I can't agree with you more. The volunteers are just amazing, including all of you, of course, because service on the board is volunteer as well.
That's what I was trying to really get you to say. So thank you.
You're absolutely welcome. And Anna Maria, what have you learned about the ASA from serving on the board?
Like all the other ones just said, the multiplicity of programs, the variety, the breadth. But what I didn't know the magnitude of the role that the ASA board plays in the public arena was the opinions, the issues. For example, the issue with the census, the issue with the manner in which even the Supreme Court asked for the opinion of the board to support its cases before they issue an opinion about it. It really is amazing the breadth of what the American Statistical Association does. I'm so very proud of all the participants of the entire board. Even like we are talking about the census, we're having now Rob go into the directorship. It's really amazing to see how wonderful statisticians participating in our society. Thank you to all.
Thank you all for the time that you have devoted to the ASA board, which has been remarkable. And in this particular instance, well above the norm, especially with the many extra meetings that we had during 2020. So very soon, you'll be going off the board and you'll have some time that I know will fill up with other things. So we'd like to hear a little bit about what activities or projects you're looking forward to when you have that extra time. And those can be work things. They can be more in the line of hobbies or just things that you love to do. But we'd love to hear about that. And let's start with Mark.
Yeah, I'm trying to get my mind reoriented towards going back to like a normal, sedate life. As you pointed out, Ron, you know, particularly 2020 was a very active year for the board. And, you know, for people who are listening, you know, being on the board is not just all peaches and cream. There's a lot of work, and it really did take a lot of time. And that time will be definitely a hole in my schedule. So, you know, one of the things that I've recently rediscovered and gotten much more involved in over the past year is my interest in performing magic. And I'm actually hoping that I can get back into it a little bit more. I've been performing over the last year or so, and so I'd love to do a little bit more of that. So that's probably the main activity that I see myself getting involved, a little bit more involved in. But, you know, there's plenty of things related to my day job that, you know, I certainly feel like I can get back into doing a little bit more intensively.
Thanks, Mark. Exciting about the magic. And, you know, I must compliment you. You made Scott Evans disappear from the board at the end of last year. So well played. Let's go over to Anna Maria.
Hello again. Talking about magic, following with that idea, what about taking COVID and making it disappear too? That will be really magic. So going back to myself, I want to, with that COVID, perhaps not disappearing, but calming down, I would like to go back to traveling. I love traveling. And I am enamored of visiting chapters. One of the things that I try to do whenever I go in any state or even in countries like in Canada where there are a chapter, I try visiting the local people and I call them and find out if they have a meeting happening while I'm there. You know, touching bases, touching humans, I really want to go back to that part of the humanity. Thank you.
Thank you, Anna Maria. Wendy, what's on your mind?
Well, I love watching magic. I could never be a magician, unfortunately, and I'm not as talented as Mark and Dick in terms of their like singing and guitar playing. So I guess I'll have to put a little plug in there for the 2020 JSM song that they created. So I think that's still on the ASA website, so you should check it out. I'm with Anna Maria. I do love to travel, but my office is now my home because we're working remotely. So I've become, a bit of a hermit. And so it's hard for me now to get out. I'll have to sort of force myself to get out there. But I really am looking forward to traveling, you know, once things calm down from COVID. With respect to, you know, starting in 2022, I'll still be busy at work. And I'm going to happily keep volunteering with ASA. I'm honored that I've been elected as a chair-elect of the ASA Jedi Outreach Group, and Jedi is Justice, Equity, Diversity, and Inclusion Outreach Group, and my term will start next year, so I guess I'll be chair in 2023 if my calculations are correct. But what I'm really excited about, too, is that I will still get to work with Donna in the coming year on hopefully several things. But one that's really exciting, I think, to both of us is we want to better establish the new R-Govies group. And R is a statistical computing environment. And this group is going to focus on R as used for official statistics. So, well, not even just official statistics, but government data and statistics. This has recently been supported by the R Consortium. So we're really excited about that. And Donna told me earlier that we have lots of members signing up. And I don't know, Don, if you could chime in now, can we give it a plug and tell people where to look to sign up?
We can definitely put it in the show notes. So it's a meetup. It's rgovies on meetup.com. And we'll make sure the link is in the show note.
That's what I'm looking forward to doing.
Thanks, Wendy. Dick, I could imagine that sleep might be on your list, at least a little bit, because I know you've been incredibly busy this year.
Well, thanks, Ron. But actually, I sleep pretty well. Thank you for that. I first like to comment on a couple of things that Mark and Wendy said. So, Mark, I'm surprised that you didn't talk about our upcoming album, the 12 versions of Yesterday that we're going to be working on.
I was leaving that to you.
Great. So I can plug that. Maybe it's the 12 Yesterdays of Christmas or something. But Wendy, you know, we just had Kim Sellers up here at Williams, and we're talking about her work on Jedi. I'm thrilled you're taking that chairmanship over. That's going to be great. That's really important work. So, yeah, to get back to Ron's question about me, I wish that going off the board was going to be a more significant opening of my time. But two other events are, and that is that I am taking a semester off of teaching next semester, and then maybe next year I'll get my twice postponed sabbatical. So between those two, I do expect to have a little more time. And professionally, what I'd really like to get started on is helping figure out where data science is going, especially in education. So I've written a bunch of textbooks. I think I still have a couple in me. And one of them is going to be a basic data science book for students that are struggling with math. We get a lot of students who come in, they want data science, but they haven't had really much math at all or statistics. And so trying to figure out how to get them hooked into data science is a big challenge. And on that note, I'm going to get together with a couple of mathematicians, and I hope to write a book called The Math You Need for Data Science. When a student looks at majoring in statistics or computer science, there's Calc 1, Calc 2, Calc 3, linear algebra, probability theory, discrete math, and they throw up their hands and say, I can't do this. And I don't think we need six semesters, so I'm going to try to figure out how to get that into two. That's a big project, and that'll take up a lot of my time.
And hopefully you get some of that long-awaited sabbatical time to work on that. Well, Donna, I am happy to report that once again, we have a new sponsor. Perhaps many of you, like me, use one of the many home-delivered self-cooked services. Aren't they great? Pre-measured ingredients, easy to follow instructions, and in 30 minutes you have a delicious meal. I love it. But then come the leftovers. So you package up the leftovers in your favorite storage containers, put them in the refrigerator along with the leftovers from the previous night's meals. And soon you have a fridge full of containers. If only there were a good way to make use of those leftovers and to make some money at the same time. Along comes our new sponsor, Nearly Fresh. As a Nearly Fresh subscriber, you just go online and enter which leftovers you have and how much. Nearly Fresh matches you with someone nearby to take those leftovers off your hand. You simply leave the leftovers in a special container on your front porch, and a nearby neighbor drops by to pick them up. Nearly Fresh even provides disposable leftover dishes to make the whole process that much simpler. The containers, just like the leftovers, are recyclable to be kind to the environment. Each month, you receive a check from Nearly Fresh based on how many leftovers you delivered and how satisfied the customers were with the leftovers they receive. Nearly Fresh is a registered trademark of the National Federation of Microwave Oven Manufacturers. Find out more at the Nearly Fresh website and save even more by using the code RESIDUALS. Back to you, Donna.
Back to our conversation with our colleagues. Ron and I were interested in how serving on the board has influenced how you think about the profession. And Dick, I'll start with you.
Well, I'm going to go back to the theme I talked about keeping abreast of all the issues. And I think that, you know, the ASA does, as everybody's pointed out, an enormous amount of important work that a lot of our members aren't aware of. And, you know, I look forward to the challenges of the ASA. And I think that's the main challenge, is getting the statisticians out there to realize all of that important work. That's the one thing I worry a little bit about the ASA, as I've looked at my two terms on the board and watched membership not flourish and grow like we hoped 6 or 7 years ago, but kind of stagnate and now leveling off a bit. And I think our biggest challenge is to get the younger members to realize the value of what we do. There's an awful lot that we do in terms of, as I think Anna Maria mentioned, we're, you know, helping statisticians who are in trouble. We're making policy statements about important issues, and it's just all vital. But, and without the ASA, that's not going to happen. So I think that's the main thing that my service on the board has maybe realized, is how important the ASA is.
Well, that's great. Wendy, what are your thoughts on the profession and how your vision of the profession has been influenced by your service on the board?
Thanks, Donna. Well, I always knew our profession was important because, you know, I love statistics, and I think statistics plays a role in almost every area. And when I was, you know, early in my career, you know, I kind of struggled and thought about, well, should I join this professional association? You know, I have to pay for it myself, and thinking, well, you know, what am I going to get out of it? But I thought that was really not the right way to think about it, because if statistics is my career and it's my profession, and since that's the case, that I love it, then I really need to do something about it to support that profession and to give back to the community. And so I think, you know, serving on the board, that's brought that more at the forefront, or I've realized that even more so. I'm very passionate about our profession and our association. And through, you know, everything that happened in 2020, I now have a better appreciation for the importance of ensuring that we follow the JEDI principles in our lives and professional ethics. And I'd just like to emphasize the I, which is inclusion, because I think we need to make sure that everyone feels welcomed and at home with us in our association.
Thanks, Wendy. That's really important. And I definitely look forward to working with you as chair-elect of JEDI in 2022. Mark, how has serving on the board influenced your view of the profession?
Well, one of the things that you realize pretty quickly, I think, when you start working on the board is how diverse its members are and the goals of the ASA are in catering to the membership. So when I say diverse, I mean not only diversity in areas of interest. You know, Dick already mentioned just recognizing the existence of data science and the ASA needing to be involved in data science, especially through ABET. But also, there are plenty of diversity issues that come with racial diversity, gender diversity, ethnic diversity, all kinds of different diversities that the board is very keenly aware of and is taking seriously and that need to be addressed on an ongoing basis as these are challenging issues to make sure, as Wendy was saying, everyone needs to feel included. And so there's so much going on in the profession, and we want to be able to make all the opportunities accessible to the entire membership, and acknowledging the diversity is such a huge part of that.
Thanks, Mark. That's a really important message. And Anna Maria, talk to us a little bit about how serving on the board has influenced your view of the profession.
I see the profession in the forefront of our world right now, and I see reflected on the number of undergrad programs that have started flourishing, or new programs and expansion of programs, but not just undergrads, also like master level. So it's not any longer just a profession for the big doctors. Now it's a profession for everyone. And I think that COVID, for good or bad, brought upfront the need for statistics. People never thought about a flat curve or a curvy curve, and people were talking statistics. They are still talking statistics. And so the interest of the new generation is coming there. It's not just what they call only data science. No, it's then statistics proper. And so I see our profession expanding and growing and influencing everything. And I am ever so proud of it. Thank you.
Thanks so much to all of you. And I'm going to follow up with another similar question, which you may be able to expand on some of the things that you've already said just a moment ago, or you may want to go some other directions as well. But now that you have seen the ASA really from the inside and you've experienced being on the board for 3 years, what are the opportunities and the challenges that you see for future boards? And Mark, I'd like to start with you.
That's an easy one. It's easy in the sense that from looking from the inside, what we've been noticing is that a huge challenge, and I suppose that combines with an opportunity, is membership retention. Unfortunately, as time goes on, the number of members of the ASA is starting to decline a bit. And, you know, there are a lot of possible reasons for that. And, you know, we've discussed these reasons in board meetings. And, you know, just to give a flavor, I mean, it could just simply be people who are working in professions where they feel like they don't need the umbrella of the ASA quite as much as, you know, maybe in past times. But it could also simply be that, you know, the ASA is not positioned well enough for the changing profession. And that is something that the ASA needs to respond to. And it's not to say that the ASA, of course, is unaware of this issue. We're very much aware. But this is going to be a challenge for future boards. You know, we've started doing some of the work already, but it's certainly an important issue that the ASA remain adept and be able to follow trends in statistical work and data science and be able to position itself so it can be helpful to a larger group and thrive and remain very relevant. And that's something I hope that future boards will address head on.
Thank you, Mark. Anna Maria, what do you see?
And going back to my theme of the new programs, the new undergrads, students, I see not just a retention of our current membership. I see how do we send the message to all those new students of statistics that we are here for them and we are their home and they can be here with us and we all will travel together. I want the membership of the students to increase. Like when I was in my graduate program, I was so interested in joining, even though I was just a first year student. I didn't care. I had to be part of this, and here I'm still. So I want that spirit to be transferred to all those new students, because right there is our future.
Thanks so much. Dick, how about you?
Well, sorry about already answering part of this question last time, because my view of the profession and the challenges I see are kind of intertwined. But yeah, I'm just going to pick up things that both Mark and Anna Maria have said. You know, I think one of the challenges is that for younger people, they have so many groups that they're part of because of social media. So they may not feel that they need community, and they've got plenty of places to get information, which are two of the things that the ASA traditionally provided. But what the ASA does in addition to those is, you know, protecting and promoting our profession, which I don't think social media can do. And the service that we've already mentioned in terms of the position papers that we've done and supporting people and work like Wendy's going to do with the JEDI committee. These are the things that we need to market to young people to show them that this community is not just a social organization. It's not just an information site with a website, but it's a vital and important entity that they need to be part of. I think that's the biggest challenge.
Thank you so much, Dick. And Wendy, as past president, will give you the last word on opportunities and challenges.
I would just like to mention that, which I think is both a challenge and an opportunity, and that is to somehow take advantage of or account for the fact that we have sort of this hybrid environment, meaning that people have, you know, for the past year and a half plus, you know, we've been meeting virtually. How can we take advantage of the fact that, you know, we do have this virtual environment plus in person? We could now reach people around the world and, you know, build that community around the world, not just in North America. So that's what I see as the opportunity as well as the challenge. And perhaps that is a way, if we could do that, then that might, you know, increase our membership, but just at least increase our like connection or influence, I guess, and be able to promote statistics around the world.
Those were all just fantastic answers. And it makes me optimistic, actually, about our future. We thought that it would be fun to conclude with a question about a favorite memory from your time on the board. It can be either in our formal interactions or the informal interactions. We'll take a little bit of a walk down memory lane. And Anna Maria, I'll start with you.
For me, it's very easy. I am a human contact person, and I miss that. And the trips in JSM, the being able to see and touch other statisticians, well, we're still touching in the virtual way, but I want that memories that I have of our meetings in the rooms where we had the breakfast or the afterglow, if we want to call it that, and we all summarize our days. That was a wonderful interaction, and I feel so privileged to have been able to do it with all of you. Thank you.
Thanks, Anna Maria. Mark, some favorite memories.
Yes, I'll mention two. So one of the real delights of being on the board is that Ron always ended up scheduling these sort of special sessions. And I thought that these student paper competition sessions were just wonderful. So these were sessions where student teams would come and present some of their work to the board, and the board would, you know, essentially evaluate and provide feedback to some of these projects. And I thought that was just a wonderful part of the board. It definitely took a lot of the formality out of a lot of our board work and gave us an opportunity to find out what, you know, students around the country were working on. So that's one thing that I really appreciated. A second thing, and Ron kind of hinted at this at the beginning, I overlapped 2 years with my very good friend, Scott Evans. He and I have known each other forever. He's also from the Boston area, and I've been working in the Boston area pretty much forever. He and I started the New England Symposium on Statistics and Sports in 2007, and we've been co-running the event ever since, every 2 years. When we were both on the board, we discovered how much we like pretty much putting each other in very awkward positions. So I really relish the moments where I would end up like trying to come up with some examples during these formal discussions that pretty much made Scott look like an idiot. And he pretty much did the same to me. And so I found that very entertaining, certainly on a personal level. And I hope others on the board also enjoyed that experience as well.
I can absolutely affirm that they did. And we've missed Scott this year, and we will definitely miss you next year as well. Dick, favorite memory?
One thing I'll pick up what Mark just said is that, especially when we were live, and I'm going to talk a little bit about Wendy's comment that one of the challenges certainly is how we navigate between these two worlds of virtual and real. And I think that's a huge challenge for the ASA board going forward, is to get people back together. I know it's convenient to Zoom in, but there's a lot that we miss. So huge challenge there. What I loved about, especially the live board meetings, was learning from everybody. I mean, it's just amazing to get in a room with 15 people who are smarter than you and listen to all the good things that they had to say. And that includes sometimes even Mark and Scott, but Well, maybe not that often, but
anyway. I was going to say Scott, but yeah.
But the other thing that I really loved were of course, the social aspects that Mark mentioned, our dinners out, and especially the evening where we got to listen to the people going off the board. And my first year, the first go-round, I got to listen to Rod Little sing Can't Take That Away From Me with verses that had to do with all the things that had happened on the board. And that just was really special to me, was that there was this bonding of people on the board who, you know, all these people have big, important positions, and they could get together and have a light moment together. And that was just really special. So all of those really stood out for me.
Thanks, Dick. That's great. And Wendy will conclude with your favorite memories.
I was really glad that Mark mentioned he and Scott's repartee. I don't know if that's the right word, but I always wanted to be sort of funny, but I can't tell a joke, and I don't think I'm humorous at all. So I really enjoyed at the board meetings the humor, because Ron's really good at that too. So it was like Dick and Mark and Scott and Ron. So I really enjoyed that. But what I really wanted to mention, and this is a memory that hopefully Anna Maria recalls, and I think it was the April board meeting, the spring board meeting, and she and I had been talking about coming early or something and then doing something special. And what we did was we went to the cherry blossoms. And I've been living in, you know, kind of the DC area for, oh gosh, I don't know, 20 plus years. And I'd never seen the cherry blossoms except for when on the commuter train, you know, when I would cross the Potomac, then I would see it. But I'd never, you know, walked there and seen it in person. And Anna Marie and I took the afternoon and, you know, went through the cherry blossoms, and it was just beautiful. And didn't we go to a museum too? Or am I remembering that wrong, Anna Maria?
National Gallery of Art.
Yes. Okay. Yeah, that was just a fantastic afternoon. It's so beautiful. And I still look at the pictures and remember that special time. So thank you, Anna Maria.
Thank you. It was wonderful.
Well, thank you to all of our guests, Dick, Wendy, Mark, and Anna Maria. This has just been an incredibly delightful conversation. And as our listeners know, I will turn it over to my colleague, Ron, for the top 10, which is our traditional ending of Practical Significance.
It's December, after all. It's the holiday season, and depending on your background and traditions, songs may be part of your holidays. Songs about the season, songs about relationships, loves found and lost. Many seasonal songs are well known. We can all sing them, but there are some that are a bit less well known. In our continuing efforts to add the practical to Practical Significance, we bring you the top 10 songs of the season that never caught on. Number 10, You'll Get No Present From Me Because Nothing Is Too Good For You. Number 9, Let's Go Singing in the Cemetery Because Your Voice Can't Hurt Anyone There. Number 8, I Miss You As Much As I Miss Acne. Number 7, Life With You Is a Festival of Slights. Number 6, The Weather Outside Is Frightful, But It Ain't So Great in Here Either. Number 5, Why Does Life Seem So Short Except When You Are at the Airport? Number 4, I Love You Like I Love Fruitcake, in Small Amounts Once a Year. Number 3, You Dropped Me Like a Bad New Year's Resolution. Number 2, I'll Be Home for Christmas in My Ford Pinto. And the number 1 song of the season that never caught on, I Know What You Did Last Summer, But I Don't Really Care. So, that's it for the December episode of Practical Significance. And this wraps up 1 year of podcasting for us. So it is time for thank yous. Ordinarily, one would thank the podcast sponsors, but since I made all those up, that seems a bit self-referential. But there are a bunch of people to thank for real.
Yeah, that's right, Ron. Let's start by thanking all of our guests during the year. And of course, we need to give a huge shout out and thank you to our wonderful producer, Kim, and also the Amstat News staff, Megan, Meg, Olivia, and Val, for their support. Without these folks, we'd have no podcast. You and I would be just talking to ourselves. Although, I would absolutely like to thank you, Ron, for being a wonderful colleague. This new endeavor has been so much fun, so I appreciate you taking me along for the ride.
And likewise, Don, I've had a lot of fun, and thank you for all that you do. And with regards to speaking to ourselves, I'm afraid that happens quite enough already. We do want also to thank the ASA Board of Directors for its support and encouragement of this and many other activities.
Yeah, a huge thank you to the hundreds of people who serve as volunteers in the ASA. I think sometimes when we say ASA, we forget that the ASA are these amazing people who take on roles on committees, chapters, sections, and outreach group leadership, journal and magazine editorial leadership, and so much more. So thank you to all of our colleagues in the ASA for being willing to volunteer.
That's absolutely right, Donna. Thank you for that. And finally, our biggest thank you goes to our podcast listeners. We wish all of you a wonderful holiday season and a healthy, happy new year. And we so look forward to continuing the conversation next month.
Thank you for listening to this edition of Practical Significance, the podcast of the American Statistical Association. A new episode will be coming your way next month from AmStat News, the ASA's monthly membership magazine.